Welcome to the Nursey Connect podcast. My name is Ava. I'm the chief executive here at the company called Nursey Connect. Okay, we work to place nurses. We're a remote nurse staffing agency, and our goal is to preserve the nursing workforce through remote work. Okay, today's episode, we're going to be talking about what I believe is still one of the hottest topics in healthcare today, which is virtual nursing. And of course, I couldn't talk about it by myself. I had to get someone else in here so you guys don't just see my perspective from virtual nursing. This is a really, really innovative solution. So I brought on a guest. Okay, I'm going to let her introduce herself. Welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Yes, thanks, Ava. Thanks for having me here. My name is Tiffany Wyatt. I am the director of nursing at Look Deep Health. And Look Deep Health is a complete software platform specializing, though, in virtual nursing and fall prevention, or also known as virtual sitting. And we are vision AI. And so it's video devices with in them where you can, anyone who's using the technology can use the basic video devices, but also can use the AI technology to really streamline workflows and make things more efficient. A little bit from my background, 20 years in healthcare, all inpatient until I came into this digital health space. Background for most of that ICU, PACU, and LDRP, and moved into the digital health space about 2019, where I focused on remote patient monitoring to start, and now vision AI, virtual nursing, supporting hospitals, etc.
Y'all see why I had to have her on the show, right? She just laid out all her credentials, so she's more than qualified to talk about this topic, okay? Let me back up a little bit, introduce myself for our new listeners as well. I'm Ava. I'm also a registered nurse, and I'm the head executive for the company, Nursey Connect. Before I started running Nursey Connect, I used to work at the bedside as a float pool nurse here in North Carolina at one of the hospitals, Duke and Durham. And then I did that for a little bit during the pandemic, and then I transitioned into something called virtual nursing, where basically what we're going to talk about today is, like, the best way I could describe it is a virtual bedside nurse, but we'll get more into what it is. I started doing that. I absolutely fell in love with it. I was like, oh, this is so cool. I think nurses need to learn more about this and what it is. So I started creating content on social media like TikTok. And that page did very, very well. And I was like, okay, nurses want to do this. How can we keep pushing virtual nursing forward? And I got super inspired. And here we are today with Nursey Connect. Okay, so our mission is to keep pushing virtual nursing forward and preserve the nursing workforce through remote work. Because I can definitely say virtual nursing kept me nursing. Because when I was doing bedside care, I was like, this is it. This is what we're doing. But it was during the COVID-19 pandemic. So I think that played a big part in it too. But anyway, I just want to reintroduce myself as well. So Tiffany, we're going to get right into the interview. All right. So this first section, you all, we're going to be defining the landscape and the current state of virtual nursing. So Tiffany, how would you define virtual nursing? What are some of the different models and approaches that exist?
So I would define virtual nursing as it refers to the use of technology to extend the reach of nurses, and it allows them to monitor, assess, and engage with patients without being physically present at the bedside. And I like to explain virtual nursing in three categories, and that is impacting hospital throughput. And so in that category, that would be people streamlining admits, discharges, and transfers for the patients throughout the hospital. Also virtually, you can do patient and family updates while during the patient's stay, so that we're not doing all of that at discharge, help with ER support so we can get to the patients out of the ER to the floor, and those type of things. And then another category is supporting bedside teams. And so we see that a lot with mentorship of the novice nurses. So the virtual nurses can kind of be a support for those novice nurses at the bedside right away and really help kind of do almost like a post-preceptorship for that. Also dual nurse sign-offs. You're not having to go run down the hall to, you know, find a nurse. You can do that with virtual nursing. Care plan updates with even other specialties, case management, and stuff like that. And then where our company really focused and where I'm really passionate is really what this proactive care with AI, and how that is used in virtual nursing is where you can have kind of an AI technology watch the patient at all times, and you can really give this information to the virtual nurses and to really any of the care team that we've never had before. And so that could be things like pressure injury risk detection. There are some wearables that have this, but the patient doesn't have to have a wearable. It can just detect, has the patient not been turned in the last 3 hours? Are they not moving that much during their stay? And then taking that a step further, you can look at kind of the mobility of the patient. The AI can actually say, oh, the patient's been in the bed for 6 hours today. They've been in the chair for 1 hour. They walked around for 30 minutes. They were out of the room for an hour. So you can see where the patient's been in the room. And taking that a step further for discharge planning, you can look at that across the unit, the entire hospital, maybe per procedure, and you can see if patients are on track for their care plans, for getting out of bed and mobility, but also for discharge. So AI has a lot that the virtual nurse can take and kind of help the bedside team manage those patients, get better outcomes, et cetera. And then, there are hundreds of applications with AI as well, but those are the ones that we see most impactful right now.
Okay, thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, and I can go in a little bit about how it's done, like technology, if you want.
Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah. So it can be done via virtual video visits. And so this would require a camera with a two-way audio and visual capabilities. And that would be where we're doing those things like admits, discharge, transfer, you know, assessing the patient, maybe even some patient rounding. All of these things can be done. Anything that can be done with just a, you know, two-way camera video like we're doing right now. And then you also have the capability to have a higher zoom camera. And so with the higher zoom camera, that allows you to zoom in really closely on something in the room. And so it could be, you know, some med bag. It could even be like the wound or something like that for skin check sign off. So you don't have to have the higher zoom, but you can if you're going to do that type of care for virtual nursing. And then again, the continuous AI monitoring, which not everybody has the AI monitoring embedded within the devices or has the capability to add the kind of module within the devices, but using these AI cameras that have these trained models really can help do that AI type of information. And you want to make sure that you're looking for somebody who has some credibility in the AI space. And that would be real life hospital data that they have used to train their models. Okay, so Look Deep, where I work specifically, we are one of the only companies that I know of right now that has a peer-reviewed, published kind of article and publication about how our AI works and some of the information about it. And so those are kind of some of the things you want to look at from the AI standpoint. And then lastly, staffing models that can be done for virtual nursing. You can do this hybrid virtual nursing model, or you can really do whatever you want. I should put that out there. But what we're seeing is the hybrid virtual nursing model where you're doing this combination of bedside nurses and virtual nurses that rotate. Some people are doing it that way. Some are doing it where they have designated virtual nurses that are very expert and trained in this space. That can be in a remote location, like even at their home or on the campus of the hospital. And then we're seeing all these outsourced options too, where you have vendors and staffing agencies that specialize in virtual nursing offering support to the hospitals to staff or manage those virtual nurses.
Okay. And Tiffany, I'm going to piggyback off the staffing part because that's what my company specializes in. So yeah, I totally agree with Tiffany on the way that hospitals have been developing staffing around this new model of virtual nursing care. And that's what my company specializes in. We specialize in taking those nurses and managing them fully remote, helping hospitals scale their program without having to also worry about the management of the virtual nursing team and the bedside team. So we'll do things like the training, onboarding, screening, recruiting, and we're also developing a proprietary platform just for virtual nursing to help improve the communication between the on-site and the remote teams and to help with, like what Tiffany was saying, the throughput. Okay, that software will be able to help us monitor and track the movement of patients that'll go straight to the virtual nurse. So there's not always that phone call that has to be made whenever that task needs to be completed. So those are some of the things that are developing in the space around staffing. And some models or some availability and hours for nurses to work. Some hospitals want the continuous model, where it's 365, 24/7 virtual nursing, day and night. We also can accommodate for that. And then some hospitals just want maybe Monday through Friday, 8-hour shifts for nurses, maybe not on the holidays and weekends where they're not having as many admissions or discharges or something like that. But we're able to accommodate for all those different styles of staffing, if that's what hospitals are needing to grow their programs. So I'm glad you brought that up, Tiffany, about this different staffing models and kind of just how it's taking its shape. My favorite staffing model, like working as a nurse, would be the hybrid model, just because you still get to do those on-site skills and then you get a little bit of a reprieve working remotely, but you're still very much in the bedside space. Just that burnout and that exhaustion is kind of, you know, it's still there, but it's kind of a little bit more controlled, you know. And I think that would definitely keep a lot more nurses at the bedside if hospitals were able to continuously offer that, especially for those high turnover units like med-surg, PCU, ER, ICU, things like that. So the next question, what are some primary drivers behind the increasing demand for virtual nursing services? Because for a while, I mean, this is a newer topic in nursing. We have virtual nursing, but not outside the ICU like we do now. So what do you think are some of the drivers for that? Why is there a sudden increase in demand?
Well, the rising patient acuity and the constrained clinical staffing because we don't have enough nurses to take care of the patients, I would say is kind of the defining problem for now and going forward, the future of hospital care. Staffing shortages, as we all know, you know, there's an ongoing nurse shortage in general. And so hospitals need to find kind of innovative ways to distribute workloads and increase retention and increase nurse satisfaction so that we can keep those nurses at the bedside. But we also have the staffing shortages because the number of older Americans is growing. And so, you know, even projected, if we do a great job of keeping nurses, we're still going to have so many more patients to take care of. And in fact, you know, there's a projected to be a 50% growth in patients over, or people, I should say, adults over 65 from 2020 to 2040. So, you know, we're looking ahead at this really realistic future of a lot of people that are going to need care. And then there's the desire to improve patient access for underserved populations and rural populations, because as we know, hospitals are you know, having to band together, or they're closing in some of the rural hospitals or in some of the rural locations. And so finding a way to improve the access to those and give the same type of care in these rural settings or critical access hospitals is something a lot of people are looking at. And then, you know, also the leadership drive in the hospital drive to really reduce burnout across all specialties, but of course, me and Ava like to focus on the nursing, but, you know, really taking a look at that post-COVID at what we can do to really support the nurses so that they can take better care of the patients.
So thank you, Tiffany, for your insight on that. So the next question is, what are some of the biggest challenges currently facing organizations trying to implement and scale these virtual nursing programs? So how do they go about doing it? What is the best way to do it that you've seen in your opinion?
I think the best way to go about it, or I guess I should, I'll say, start with the challenges. The biggest challenges that they're currently facing are kind of technology and integration, really getting so many different people on board. You know, we want to do this virtual nursing program. We got to get the CNO on board and the CFO, and then we got to get, you know, the people that are supporting the tech and all of that on board. And so ensuring seamless interoperability between your virtual nursing platform that you're going to use and the hardware, like the devices and your existing hospital system, will definitely help with that. Also finding a vendor that's an expert in this space, especially from the technology standpoint. It's awesome to have both, having a vendor that's expert clinically, but more than that, what the hospitals really need is somebody who understands seamless technology integration to what they already have, and that the technology that is being built is not creating a ton of friction over and on top of what the staff already has to do. And so that will help with that, and finding solutions for each hospital. So finding a vendor that will have multiple options so that they're working with the hospital, not having the hospital kind of conform to them. And so an example for that is, if getting a video device in every room is not an option to start, or for every hospital in the entire organization, having carts is one way to do it. Then you can get that going quicker. You can even have it on an IV pole. So different hospitals, different units, different times are going to require different technology solutions just to get it going. And then another challenge we find, though I'm seeing it less and less, is the staff buy-in, staff and patient buy-in. Traditional nursing teams, initially maybe resisted the virtual nursing a while ago. Like Ava said, it was usually in EICUs, and they were fearing increased workload, maybe loss of personal connection, that the patients weren't going to get as good enough care. And then adding AI on top of that, there's been a lot of talk about how AI is being implemented within nursing. And so educating nurses and the entire nursing profession on having thought leaders like Ava to know that no virtual nursing experts in the space, and create content that they can distribute, or to be a person that they can talk to, I think will really help with this kind of overall nurse buy-in of virtual nursing. And also, the more popular virtual nursing becomes, the nurses will start to see firsthand on how beneficial it is for them, for their patients, for the organization. And I think we'll start to see that change. And the last one that I think we haven't made as much headway on as the first two is proving the ROI and effectiveness of the virtual nursing programs. The leadership needs to have clear data on cost saving, patient outcomes, workflow improvements to justify the expansions of the virtual nursing pilots, and then expanding that across the hospital. So we, in the past, have failed to see virtual nursing pilots scale because the initial results are always fantastic. Every study I've ever read, they're through the roof fantastic. Everybody loves it. But it's hard to point exactly at the cost savings around things that it's proving. So like increased patient satisfaction, the throughput that we talked about, the nurse retention. So pointing that directly at the virtual nursing program has been hard. So creating the data-driven matrix, having clear goals. And I think the biggest thing people can do is grouping virtual nursing with a program that does show really high ROI or return on investment for the hospital. And so that's a program like fall prevention, also known as virtual sitting, where you can justify the ROI by having a virtual sit. What you're taking one virtual sitter, now that one who we don't even have staff for anyways can watch 10 or 12. And so finding a vendor that can do both with the same platform and that's cost-effective devices, hopefully getting them in every room will be huge. And then adding an AI component on top of that to make everything more efficient, I think will help with proving the ROI for virtual nursing programs.
Next question is, how has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted the adoption and evolution of virtual nursing? I feel like maybe you talked about that a little bit in the last question or the previous question, but do you want to touch on it again a little bit more?
Yeah. Okay. I think if you were a nurse in the hospital through the COVID-19 pandemic, you know this more than anyone, but COVID-19 really accelerated the adoption of virtual nursing because just out of necessity, hospitals were scrambling. They were trying to reduce the inpatient contact. They were trying to manage this like surge of very sick patients and also trying to protect their staff. And it demonstrated just out of sheer need to take care of patients, that virtual care models could be rapidly deployed and were effective in virtual type of care, was effective in acute setting if we had to use it. And so this started leading to wider acceptance, adoption of the programs, and even maybe curiosity as to like, could we keep this program like this going? But it also showed at that time that, you know, we can deploy things in hospitals without have it being fully baked. And by that, I mean, often in healthcare, we've had this paralysis by analysis, and we have to get all of this stuff done before we even start the program. And I think COVID showed like, hey, we can just start something with whatever and get it, refine it as we go and see how it works and make it better as we're like driving the car, as opposed to like getting it all figured out before. So sometimes starting and iterating as you go can be very helpful. It's often what is done in other type of business and this kind of thing, where we start a program and we don't always know what's going on and we build as we go. And so again, finding a vendor that can move fast, partner with aligned incentives, allows organizations to do this, and building it with them versus saying, we already have this built, this is what you have to work with, and then the hospital taking 2 years to get it deployed. I think COVID had showed that maybe doesn't have to happen.
Yeah, definitely agree with just putting it out there and getting it going. Because COVID-19, it was an emergency, it was a crisis all around the world, all around the country. It really exhausted our healthcare system. So we didn't have that time for that analysis. So is this going to work? We just had to get it done. Right. We had to get it done for our patients, for our nurses, and it stuck. It's sticking. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be here for, I believe, it's never going to go back to the way it was. COVID-19 changed the way we deliver healthcare forever. Like we're not going back to what we used to do. And then with the expansion of artificial intelligence, was going to lead into our next question, the way that's rapidly evolving daily. Yeah, we're never going back to what we used to do, ever. So I know I brought up AI. You talked about it a little bit previously, but I know your company specializes in AI and this innovative. So is this something you're most excited about? Is this one of the best ways to do virtual nursing? Are there any other innovative approaches or emerging trends that exist as well?
I believe that adding AI components to any virtual program is going to be, and currently, depending on the AI you're using, is the best way to go. And that's because, again, in order for the virtual programs to expand and show value, they need to really, truly help the bedside team. It does help the bedside team to just do the admits for them and discharges for them. But really taking it a step further from a virtual nursing standpoint and being able to show a lot more value and help towards the team is going to be essential as we grow the virtual nursing program. So where some of the innovative approaches that I'm excited about is the AI-powered virtual sitting. We talked about that a little bit, and I'm excited about that from a virtual nursing standpoint, because if you combine virtual nursing and virtual sitting, you can then go to the hospital and say, you know, this is one program or one solution, technology solution, and one device that is actually doing multiple things. It can do a lot more than just that. You can do family connect visits. You can do all of these things without the AI, but adding the AI on top of it for virtual sitting, particularly, you can then have the AI help the virtual sitters or virtual care companions go from watching 1 to 10 to 12 to watching 1 to 20 to 50 to 100 of the lower risk fall patients. And so that really helps with the ROI. That helps the entire hospital to decrease the fall risk. And then you can kind of layer that on with the virtual nursing. And then the AI-powered virtual nursing programs, talked about that a little bit, about some of the AI we're seeing. But being able to do the task-oriented work, but then going a step further and really looking at a proactive care model where the virtual nurse can spend that time to make sure that each patient is moving towards their goals with it, using AI. And so at Look Deep, we really believe in human plus AI. So never will the AI make the decision. Never. Never in very many years will the AI be that good. And we know that because that's what we specialize in, is the AI. So it's really the virtual care companion making the decisions, but the AI prioritizing their care so that they can watch the patients that is at most need at that time. Same with virtual nursing. It is just creating a list for the virtual nurses to say, these patients might be at high risk and medium risk for a pressure injury. You then use your expertise and your brain, and you do your care with the patient to decide if that's true. And then you decide what the next care step is. And so it's just getting through all the noise and all of this information that the nurses see, and just creating nice lists and for them to say, oh, wow, I didn't realize that patient because I totally kind of forgot about them because there's so many other things going on. They're just not getting out of bed. And when you talk to them, it's like, yeah, I have pain. I haven't had my breakfast, you know, so you're just honing in on the ones that need your help. And then I also believe video devices in every room. That's going to be the future, and that needs to be the future. So in order for the AI to really have that big of an impact, we need to get to the place where hospitals are thinking, let's build new units and put video devices in every room, and video devices in every room across the hospital. Because the when you do that, the amount of virtual care that can be done just, you know, exponentially explodes when you're not using carts and having to move it from here to here and only have 10 carts for, you know, 50 patients. And then lastly, the decentralized nursing models, creating the virtual teams, no matter who they are, but specifically virtual nursing teams that can serve multiple hospitals, multiple health systems, optimizing staffing. So you're just making the staffing more efficient so they can support the bedside teams, taking that load off the bedside teams and thinking of things differently. And that's what I'm most, that's what I'm most familiar with. Another one I'm less familiar with, but really interested in, is this remotely monitoring the vital signs continuously for the wearable devices with Bluetooth or some type of enabled device where the virtual nurse could effectively kind of almost do the vital signs. They don't have to go to the room, put the cuff on the patient and the whole thing. They can wear something that it just uploads the data to them and they can see trends better. They can see all of this. So that'll be exciting for virtual nursing as well.
Yeah, I agree with you adding the AI component to it as the value or change the value proposition of virtual nursing. Yeah, the admissions and discharges, they're beneficial, but then having that AI component makes it like it takes the value from down here to up here, because the virtual nursing that I've been able to practice really didn't have that much of the AI component. Very straightforward admissions and discharges. You round on the patient, you turn the camera on. But imagine if when we turned the camera on, we had all that additional data. The patient hasn't been turned in a while. Just having that additional information takes that. It would have taken that virtual nursing program from one level to the next. So I definitely agree with that, having that AI component as a nurse that practiced, a virtual nurse that practiced without it. And I'm very interested to start practicing with it to see if it really is beneficial to the patients and my nursing practice as well. So I'm excited about that part too. We're going to go into the next question. All right, the future of virtual nursing. So we both agree virtual nursing is here to stay. It is not going anywhere. So where do you see virtual nursing heading in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, like we kind of touched on a video device for every room, I see a virtual nurse plus a bedside nurse for every patient in the hospital. Eventually, where you have kind of the bedside team and you have a remote team that's kind of supporting each other. It's one team, but you have these two different ways to give care. And I see that for the future, you know, maybe not in 5 years, maybe getting closer to 10 years, maybe. But I do see that as this becomes more popular and virtual care becomes more of a necessity still. And then standardizing the adoption of virtual nursing, back to that same point, I see this just becoming part of how we give care. It's like, instead of this hospital does it, this doesn't, this one unit doesn't, but the rest of them don't. It's just, this is just how we give care. And it might be even how we give care more of a majority to the smaller rural critical access hospitals, and so that we can give them some support. And then, as we've talked about, the expanded AI capabilities, when you get devices in every room and you have somebody like a virtual nurse to utilize that data, you know, that will be huge. And AI is growing, like you said, or not growing. It's growing rapidly in people using it, but also in the models that are being built. They're just getting better and better quickly.
Yeah, AI is moving very, very quickly. Just reading about it daily, the big AI tech companies that are like pushing it, it's getting better every day. And that's why I'm super interested in learning more about it as a nurse, because it seems like it's just going to be a part of what we do from now on in healthcare.
I would recommend any nurses listening to this, just start using it. Just ChatGPT or whichever one you want to use, like, just start getting familiar with it in your day-to-day life, because once you understand just the baseline of AI and realize, oh, wow, that really help me do that or this, you know, just starting, you can then start to imagine how it could help in the hospital as well.
Yeah, and I also agree that what you said about every patient will have a virtual nurse and it'll be the standard of care. Like, virtual nursing will automatically be grouped in that co-care model. You got a bedside nurse, you got a virtual nurse. That's it. It's not going to be such a new thing or add-on. It's just going to be the way that we deliver healthcare. So I do agree with that. It's just going to be the standard. Patients are just going to come into the hospital and they're going to be used to virtual nursing at that point. Next question is, we're getting down to the final questions here. What are some of the biggest lessons you've learned along the way in scaling virtual nursing programs?
Definitely the streamlined technology, you know, making sure the technology works for you. So things that should come, in my opinion, standard, like we do, is the integrated nurse call system. So when the virtual nurse or the virtual sitter needs to hit an alarm for any reason, it will then hit the bed alarm in the hall. So you're not having to call if there's an emergency situation. And that for virtual nursing, you know, you're doing more of that one-on-one. But if you're doing an observation type of idea, that's another thing for virtual nursing, where you're kind of closely monitoring a group of patients that need a little bit closer watching, like post-recovery, or maybe even helping the nurses if they had blood transfusion or something. So you can quickly get the staff in there. And this goes into another area we haven't even talked about, but the AI also has the capability to help with the violence that is going on in the hospital. And I'm hearing about it again more and more. It's so sad, but it can help to detect, are the patients, is, you know, getting more violent. And so even a virtual nurse or even a security team can help to watch these patients and get alerted from the AI that there might be a situation coming versus, you know, we're already in that situation. So having these technologies to really build on what the AI and the video devices can do and make it streamlined, and having a vendor that understands the technology can be huge for scaling. And then the importance of kind of the clear communication and collaboration between the virtual and bedside teams. Ava can talk a lot more about this one, but that is huge. Becoming one team as opposed to these siloed teams will help to scale and make everybody feel like this program is really working. And then we talked about it multiple times, but the virtual nursing pilot programs are not scaling across the hospital because of that lack of the ROIs. Having clear goals for the program, having clear data, grouping it with something to show the ROI is a big lesson. I think that not even just me, but anyone who's built a virtual nursing program could say. And then the nurse engagement and training, they need to be educated for it to be successful. They need to use it for the virtual nursing programs to scale. And so making sure they are set up for success. But it could also be as something like management, from upper management or the management of that unit, to say, we are using virtual nursing. You're making a stance, you know, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and it needs to be done. It's not optional. Because I think some of the virtual nursing programs, it's like, well, you can use it if you want for your admits, but you don't have to. Really creating this is what we're doing will help people to start using it. And then they're like, wow, that was super helpful. And they'll use it again.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just continuing the adoption. And like you said, eventually it'll come to the point where you're not really having to push that. Like you said, you're starting to see it less and less. So that is definitely something that I agree with. And then you also mentioned one of the biggest lessons in scaling. You said the programs aren't scaling because we really haven't seen that return on investment just yet with virtual nursing. And like you said, that was something that we'll keep working on in the future, just being able to pinpoint why they should be able to expand it to 20 other units when they start on one. And that, I think that also just starts with the communication too, between the teams, bedside and virtual nursing teams. And that goes back to what you said about the adoption.
And I should be clear on the ROI. We definitely know that it improves ROI. Like, we know it improves patient satisfaction scores. We know it improves nurse retention. We know it improves, or some people say that it decreases the length of stay. It decreases the patients coming back to the hospital after discharge. Like, all of these things we care about, we know that it does that. But pinpointing it just to virtual nursing is where it gets hard. But if we do more things with virtual nursing or somehow be able to find a way to show pinpoint it just to that, that's where it gets hard because we know that it helps. But to say it's only virtual nursing that did that, that's where it kind of gets gray.
Okay. I understand. And then the last question is, what advice would you give to healthcare organizations just starting to explore virtual nursing or looking to expand their existing program?
I think this will kind of summarize maybe everything we've talked about, but starting with identifying the goals of the program and the success matrix that you're gonna follow, really spending some time on that will help. And having the goals across kind of the leadership team as well as to why we're doing this. And then that workflow integration. So virtual nursing should enhance the bedside care and really, you know, at first, honestly, it might create a little extra work like anything. Like if I'm doing anything in life, when I'm doing something to start, it does create a time of learning and adjusting. But once the program's up and running, it needs to not create extra work, especially for the bedside team. Finding ways to offload that to the virtual nurses and letting the bedside team be with the patient, care for the patient, talk to the patient one-on-one, those kind of things, to do anything they need to do when they're physically with the patient. And I just say the virtual nursing, we've also seen the patients can have, I don't say they have more time, but they have the ability to have those long conversations with the patients, longer education, right? Where the bedside nurse can be doing passing meds and all of the other things. So that is another big point. And then engaging the frontline staff early. We haven't talked about that a lot, but it's similar to just if the nurses aren't going to use it or they don't like it, they could sabotage it. I mean, I can say that because I'm a nurse and Ava too. And, you know, we want to make sure that they use it. And when they use it, and it's good technology and it's working, they're going to use it more. And then, so choosing that scalable technology is important and the right partner.
All right. Well, that about wraps up the interview for this episode. Tiffany, do you kind of want to reiterate what Look Deep Health is and what you all do and how you benefit hospitals who are looking to get into virtual nursing?
Yes, thank you. So Look Deep Health is a vision AI platform, and we support anything that the hospital might want with video devices and AI. And that could be EICU, Family Connect, and especially virtual nursing and virtual sitting is what we do a lot of. We have our own devices that we use that has the AI component embedded in them, but we also have the capability to use other devices for whatever the hospital system may want. So very flexible platform, flexible offering, so it works for the hospital, and also flexible staffing type of offering so that we can support the hospitals as much as possible to get the pilot started and then scale from there. And I think the biggest thing is we partner with the hospitals and the people we work with, as opposed to just saying, here's our solution and we'll see you in 5 years when the contract needs renewal. Partnering, building the workflows, really trying to understand how we can reduce the friction of the technology. And we only are successful when the hospital is successful.
Thank you for that. Reiterating Look Deep Health and how they support hospitals who are looking to develop virtual nursing programs. And again, my company is called Nursey Connect, and we look to help hospitals build virtual nursing programs through staffing. So I am a virtual nurse. I've been able to practice as a virtual nurse. I've been able to see the workflows, and I'm willing to bring on the staff that you need to help scale your program. We're willing to do things like recruit and onboard and screen the nurses, train the nurses, deploy the workstations for the nurses who are able to or allow them to work remotely, and then manage those nurses daily using our software and our technology to help you track the lifetime and the analytics and all the tasks that are completed by our virtual nursing team. So we're able to help support hospitals in that if they wanted to bring on staffing so that they can help, so they can continue to expand their virtual nursing programs. Well, thank you, Tiffany, so much for coming on the show. Again, my name is Ava. I'm the head executive here at Nursey Connect. We look to preserve the nursing workforce through remote work. If you are listening to this podcast and you are hospital executives and you're trying to get your program started or want to be in the process of scaling, you can contact me at avabethay@nursingconnect.com, or you can go to our website at nursingconnect.com. And Tiffany, if they want to get in contact with you, how can they reach you?
So you can email me, Tiffany@lookdeep.ai. And also you can go to the website, the Look Deep website. It is lookdeep.health. And also we have a big presence on LinkedIn, so you can follow us there. There are, you know, a lot of information about the company, but also about the AI that we had talked about before, if you wanted to go check that out.
All right. I will make sure to link all of this in the description down below if you want to get in contact. And thank you so much, Tiffany, for being on the show. And thank you all for listening. We'll catch you in the next one.